All right, this episode of Bouks Talkin' Bouts brought to you by Sovereign Extracts. You can check them out for a variety of CBD oils, THC cartridges, CBD cartridges, some one-in-one kind of options as well. And also a shout out to USG Canada, making some great apparel for MMA fighters, boxers, and fans alike. On this episode of the show, looking forward to talking to an individual who has a big fight at Invicta FC 40. It goes on July the 2nd. It's Victoria Leonardo taking on Deanna Bennett. And I've got Deanna on the show today. How's your day going so far there, Deanna?
My day's going excellent, actually. Got done with some training, having some downtime before I get training again. So, I mean, can't really complain, right?
No, it's awesome you're in good spirits. I'm kind of wondering what the training dynamic looks like for this one, though. Like, I mean, obviously the, you know, global pandemic situation and social distancing and all that. So, like, how have you had to alter the methodology for this one here?
Honestly, it's been the weirdest fight camp of my life. Like, I've had 20-plus pro fights alone, and this is the weirdest one so far. Like, every fight camp has its own little challenges, but this has been the absolute worst. It's been an absolutely different one. Just because I was actually, when the pandemic started, I normally am in Jersey, but I went to Utah because that's where my mom's at, and I wanted to make sure that she was taken care of. And so I spent the bulk of my time in Utah with her, and my coach was in Jersey, and so I talked to him via Zoom, and, like, give me stuff to do and training, and I'd try and train on my own, keeping my cardio and conditioning up. And then things actually in Utah started opened up about a month ago or so, and I have all my old teammates from when I lived in Utah and trained in Utah. And thankfully, like, my friend Court McGee, I can't thank him enough for helping me, like, stay with training and keeping me going while I was there. And I am back in Jersey right now working with my coach and fine-tuning stuff for this fight. And so, you know, it's just another level. I never thought I would have this kind of problem going into a fight camp, or just, you know, in general with the world. So, I mean, you just kind of have to, like, roll with the punches and get what you can in and do what you can. I mean, you know, we're fighters. We do what we can to make it and make the best inside that cage. And so I'm doing everything I can to make sure that it's good on July 2nd.
Yeah, and it seems like from certain posts that I've seen you put up, it seems like you're really, you know, using this situation as a time to, like, learn and grow. And just some of the things you're even mentioning there, like just being in Utah, and, like, the past interview we'd done, you described that as a fighting home of yours. And, I mean, Court McGee as well. I mean, I remember we were talking about how, ahead of that Colleen Schneider fight at bantamweight, how much of a help he was, even in that sort of regard, too. So is there a sense of, like, getting, like, not that you would need to get reconnected with what brought you back to the dance, but was there, like, certain, like, feelings like that popping back up just with, like, the circumstance involved in all of this here?
Yeah, you know, I had a lot of time for personal meditation, and I know that just sounds like people hear, like, oh, do you have time for meditation? And some people, like, cringe, like, okay, psycho, we don't need to go into that. But it actually, having that time to kind of, like, reflect on my life and my career, and kind of, you know, the people I have in it and what's important to me, it's good to have that time to kind of to put everything into perspective. And being in Utah is great. Going up into the mountains is one of my favorite things. Like, I would take my dog and go for a walk up in the mountains, and it'd give me a chance to kind of go through basically an inventory of my life and what's important for me, and, like, reassess my goals and really think about what's meaningful to me and important. And, you know, fighting, I love it. I love it. I'm nowhere close to being done with it. I know some people are like, you're old. I'm like, well, I don't care, because my maturity level is much lower, so we're going with that number. I'm like, hey, I'll take what I can. And it's something that I want to keep fighting for. You know, I haven't gotten a belt yet. That is one of my goals, and I'm going to make sure that it happens. And, you know, Court, like you said, I know I mentioned it before, he's helped me out so much with my career and getting me to the point I am. Like, spending a lot of time talking to him about everything. And, you know, obviously I really missed my teammates and my coach in Jersey, but it was good to help get me the right frame of mind to keep me going with my fighting career. Like, I, and just you know, in life in general, it made me think of how important it was to spend time with my mom and spend time, you know, with the people that matter the most to me. And it was really good to help kind of like center me with everything. And that makes me even more excited for this fight on July 2nd, because I have that perspective and I know what's important to me going into it.
Yeah, and I mean, you must be kind of chomping at the bit a little bit to get back out there, just with this being the first go-around since that September tournament you were part of, you know, last year with the Phoenix Rising series and everything.
Definitely. Like, I was ready to go again in December, and my manager actually had a fight set up for me in December, and then on Thanksgiving, the girl was severely overweight, and so it ended up getting canceled, and then they tried to get me another fight, and it was canceled again, and then tried to get me another fight, and the pandemic hit, and that one was canceled again. And I'm one of those people, I like being active. I don't have, like, having long layoffs between fights. Like, the second I'm out of that cage, usually I'm like, I'm ready to go. I mean, it's a little different with the tournament, because I fought three times in one night, and my shoulder, like, gave out in that third fight. So I had to give that one a little bit more time to heal. But even then, even with my shoulder, like, limping in my side, unable to lift my arm up, I was like, okay, when do I get to do this again? And my coach was like, yeah, maybe let's rehab after this one. You fought three different people in one night. Calm down. And I'm like, no, but I want to do it again. I love it so much. And I'm ready to go back out there. And I've been pretty much every day, I'm like, hey, can I have a fight? Hey, can I have a fight? And they're like, dude, you need to calm down. I'm like, no, not until you give me a fight, and never calm down. That's not true. I never calm down. It's always one of those different types of crazy or another. So, yeah, whatever.
I'm kind of wondering about the overall experience in the tournament, though, because, like, getting a couple emphatic victories in the first couple bouts there and just, like, getting to the finals and everything like that. Like, how would you characterize the overall experience there? Like, I know for a lot of fighters, it's, like, a goal to become part of, you know, that Phoenix Rising series and stuff like that. So what was it like to actually, you know, partake in that?
No, it was a great experience. You know, I have a lot of things. I have a fighting bucket list on top of life, my just life bucket list in general. And one of the things on my fighting bucket list was to compete in a one-day tournament. And it was nothing like I've ever experienced. Like, it's so hard to train for something like that because it's not used to it. Usually, you go into the cage, you fight one person, you get out of the cage, woo, you're done. Go celebrate or go lick your wounds or, you know, whatever at that point. But, like, you get out of the cage after the first fight, and it's like, okay. My coach was like, lay down. But I'm so amped because I was so excited. So I'm like, woo, but I just got to win. And he's like, yeah, but you got to go do it again. So you need to lay down. You need to calm down. And it just being able to regulate that was interesting. And going out for the second fight, got out there, got a submission win, which I was so happy for that finish. I haven't had a submission win since before I got an Invicta. And so it was good to have that feeling again. Like, I want that feeling again, definitely. And then, you know, the third fight, it didn't go my way. Miranda was great. That was her night. That's maybe my oldness finally kicked in, and my body was just like, listen, we've done this for too long tonight. You need to calm down. Too many different people were fighting. But it was such a great experience, and, you know, Invicta always puts on such great cards. And I love being able to fight for them and be part of their organization. And the fact that they have those tournaments and have those experiences, I'm so grateful that I was able to be a part of one, honestly.
Yeah, and someone else that I'd been speaking to that wants to eventually be part of that Phoenix Rising series is Lindsay Van Zandt. And, I mean, I noticed you guys were working together ahead of her last fight in Rising there, but she had mentioned to me that, obviously, with the present circumstance, you guys weren't necessarily able to work together. Is there still some kind of, like, tangible enthusiasm, though, with you guys being on this same upcoming Invicta card? Like, there's not that same dynamic of, you know, both preparing in the room, mutual goals on the same night kind of thing, but is there still some degree of enthusiasm, I guess?
Oh, 100%. The second that I found out that she was on the same card as me, I messaged her, and I was like, dude, I'm on the same card! And she said the same thing back, and so I love her. She's amazing, and you know, even though we haven't been able to be in the same room training together, there's still that camaraderie from having the same training experiences. You can't take back all the experiences that we've had in the past, and all of that is still fresh, and I'm so excited for her and her fight. I think she's going to be amazing. and I love being able to fight on the same card with people that I call a friend, and then that I call a training partner, and people that I work with. And so having that makes it even more special for me going into this fight. Like, it makes me even more excited for the experience and to go there and go get wins for both of us. Like, we're already excited. We're saying, all right, we're going to go out. We're going to win. We're going to go do our best. And then we're going to celebrate, because it's been way too long since I've seen you, and that has to change.
Well, I love there's still that camaraderie, though. I mean, I very much enjoy seeing that. But I'm kind of curious in relation to this specific event, if the promotion, I guess, has like made you privy to maybe some different regulatory measures related to COVID that will be going on with this event. Like, has the promotion kind of given you a rundown of like the new regulatory kind of processes that you'll be going through for this event here?
Not too much. I'm kind of aware there are going to be a lot more regulations. I know we're going to be, you know, quarantined to our individual camps for the fight week as it goes, and obviously having to take precautions with the masks and just being hyper aware of what we're doing, what position we're being put in, not being able to, you know, have the freedom to go and roam around. Like, usually my process, I go to Kansas City, and like the day before weigh-ins, I just aimlessly walk around the city, because what else am I going to do when I'm food deprived and all I'm thinking about is making weight on the scale? So,
yeah.
But that's going to be different this time. Like, I don't know if it's going to be similar to how the UFC was doing in Jacksonville or anything, but, you know, I had a teammate that was down there for one of those cards, and so my coach is kind of familiar with that. He told me a little bit about that experience, and so I know it's going to be a different type of fight week. I know that we're going to be kind of quarantined into our own, and, you know, my coach is a saint. Heaven help him for having to stick with me side by side for all fight week. Like, that guy deserves a medal by the end of it, because I get even weirder during fight week, and he's already weary of me being weird enough already. So, sorry, bro. I'll have to apologize to him.
Yeah, you might have to avoid licking the Invicta camera for this one as well, just to err on the side of caution, right?
Yeah. So I was already told, one of my friends was like, all right, so where are we going to get you like that full Hannibal Lecter like get up? We need the straight jacket so you stop petting people, and we need that mask so you can't try and lick anybody. So anyone got one of those handy? Because I think that's the only way you're going to be able to control yourself. Like, I spent most of the quarantine walking around with my hands in my armpit, like, don't touch anything, don't touch anyone, don't pet anyone, don't lick anyone. And they're like, don't lick anyone. I'm like, I don't know how to stop. It's too many years of doing this. I can't help myself. And actually, Court, and I trained a little bit with Ramsey Nijin, one of my old teammates, too, up at his gym in Salt Lake. And they're like, dude, Deanna, you probably are immune to corona for all the weird things that you do and for the constant licking and all that weirdness. Like, I think corona's probably afraid of you at this point. And I'm like, well, you may have a point with that. I mean, my immune system is great. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you have to, like, wear a mask, worst case scenario, maybe you and Atlas could have, like, some sort of, like, tandem masks or something like that. Like, maybe, like, a matching muzzle and mask dynamic.
100%. I think me and him could definitely rock that. It'd be perfect. I mean, that's probably what you need. I need the full-on, like, dog muzzle on my face, like, with some kind of latch where I can't reach it myself, where I can't take it off, and then maybe everyone else will be safe for me. So.
And I want to talk about your opponent here. I mean, we should probably talk about that at some point here. But your opponent, Victoria Leonardo, I mean, a veteran of obviously Invicta, but also LFA, and has some Bellator experience too, and seems like they have a variety of striking and submission finishes over their amateur and pro careers. I'm kind of wondering, are you someone that will, like, have you avidly checked out tape on Leonardo? Like, I guess, what's your awareness of her skill set? Are you mostly focusing on what you're doing, or is there some level of awareness as to what she's going to bring to the table on fight night?
So, I've seen some of her fights, because I also train in New York with Erin Blanchfield, and that was Erin's last fight, and that was Victoria's last fight. And so, obviously, I watched that one because I was supporting my teammate. And so, I've seen some of her fights. Like, I'm not the kind of person that goes back and, like, I must watch her fight. I need to see everything that she's doing. And, you know, especially because every fight's different. I leave the video watching for my coach. He's the one that goes in there because he's the one that's making up the game plan, and he's finding what I need to work on and seeing kind of maybe where she might be more vulnerable. But as for me, like, I'm a head case. I can only take so much. Like, I need to, like, tone down the capacity because I can't overload myself. So I'm like, I just need to focus on me. And then I have my coach does all the back work, and that's why he's amazing, because he does all the research and does all the history and stuff for me. And then he just brings that into the room when we're training, and that's where we just focus on what I'm going to do at that point. And so plus, I kind of feel like a creep. I'm like, all right, let's go ahead and do the online search and, like, creep on people. I'm like, I always get weird with that, so I can't. That's not the person that I am. I'm like, I'm a weirdo enough already, so, like, it's not just stalking, like, I must see her video. I'm like, no, I'm okay. I'm gonna leave that for him.
Yeah, and, like, past interviews we've had, we've talked about different music you train to and stuff like that. Like, what are you training to in the training room for this camp? Like, I know you've got pretty eclectic tastes, like D'Antwoord and Iggy Pop and different acts like that. Like, what are you jamming to for this one? I've also interviewed certain fighters, though, who haven't really trained to music. Like, they're trying to replicate the conditions of the whole no fans being there kind of vibe. Like, are you doing that? Are you jamming certain artists? Like, where are you at with that?
A mix. Like, sometimes I put music on just because, you know, that's my normal training environment. I trained a lot in Salt Lake at the pit, and there they didn't really put music on too much. Sometimes there was, but it was, like, faint in the background. Like, when I get to choose the music, it's definitely the D'Antwoord, and then horrible music where, like, my teammates are like, Deanna, are you kidding me? Is it really saying what I think it's saying right now? And I don't know if you know the artist Cupcake, my teammate Chris, we were training yesterday, and one of these songs came on, and she just looked at me like, what in the living hell are you doing? What are we listening to right now? And my coach is like, Deanna, there's a seven-year-old in the corner. And I'm like, oh, so I had a hip slip, but I have my boxing gloves on, and I really can't get to it right now. I do apologize. That, yeah, no seven-year-old should hear that, or, you know, no human in general should hear that. And yeah, sorry, team. Sorry.
So what you're saying is we can expect you to come out to Cupcake for this fight as an entrance song.
Oh yeah, if they would let me. So
yeah, right.
I mean, I don't know if they'd let me. I actually sent a screenshot to my friend the other day because I had used the Alexa Music app, and so I was on there and I was like, all right, Alexa, play me a song I like. And then the first thing that popped up, I'm like, all right, well, maybe I need to question my music taste and what I'm doing for my life, because the song that popped up was Anus by Alaska Thunderfuck, and I was like, yeah. I was like, new walkout song? And my coach was like, for the love of everything, Deanna, really? We're going to go with Anus. I'm like, no. Maybe. He's like, why is that we have a conversation? Why does that word always come up? I'm like, well, sorry, it's the music, I promise. And he's like, oh my goodness, how did I get stuck with you? Like, you love me. He's like, awkward pat on the shoulder and walk away as fast as possible. So, yeah, you know, it depends.
Yeah, always good times for sure, but you've been really good with your time to that point. I'm kind of curious if there's anything you'd like to sort of add as a parting thought as we're wrapping up here, though.
Well, first off, everyone should definitely check out Invicta Fights on UFC Fight Pass July 2nd. It's going to be a great card. There's some really good girls on there. You know, me, like I said, we got Lindsay, there's everybody. Like, the main event is going to be awesome. I'm definitely excited to watch that fight after mine. And, you know, everyone just kind of helped me for this fight. I have, you know, my friends and teammates in Utah, like Court, I mentioned Ramsey, my friend Sula. They helped me out a ton. Like, the second that I found out that I had this fight, they're like, all right, let's get on it. Let's start working. And, you know, my coach, like I said, he's a very patient man. I do appreciate him and his time. Like, he deserves sainthood after having to put up with me and listening to my music and just being there in general. And, like, all my teammates here, like, just being able to help me, like, I appreciate that. Friends, family, everything. you know, every amount of support means the world to me. I am just an awkward human that likes to be locked in a cage and likes to fight people. Like, that's just what I do. And I love being able to talk to people and do what I can. And no, I'm excited I get to fight. So that's all I have to say about that.
Well, I think the excitement is mutual in terms of, like, fans and pundits that are going to be checking this fight out. And people can check that out on UFC Fight Pass, Invicta FC 40 going on July the 2nd. Victoria Leonardo taking on Deanna Bennett. And, yeah, I just really appreciate all the time and insights. Always like having you on the show there, Deanna. Appreciate the time and have a great rest of your day there.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. You have a great day, too.